morning.
Good morning.
What day is this?
This is the day of the Lord.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
Yes.
I couldn't wait to get up here and say that. This is a special day because the ladies are in full control of the service. So, having said that, I'll give a quick update on the information on the back of your bulletin. On June 9th, we have a feast of Carolina Barbecue. On June the 10th, that would be the cutoff date for the college scholarships. June 24th is the day we show our love for others by sharing the food items that you've so kindly donated. If you're a visitor, fill out the pew card for the offering plate and join us for coffee and delicious cookies. And I may have had one or two this morning. In the narthex are these Samaritan's Purse that you, program that you may fill out, and if you so desire, and to help provide facility services and programs to enhance the quality of life for older persons. And we have the, I've forgotten now. There's a survey. And if you'd like to get involved with the survey, please pick that up at the back of the church and fill that out and send it in. That's what it looks like. Okay. And we'd like to invite the family of Rosabeth to please stay for coffee and cookies after church. Thank you.
Good morning. As chairperson for the staff, pastor, and parish relations committee, I want to let you know that I'm pleased to report that there will be no change in our pastoral leadership at Clarksburg Church for this coming year. Pastor Ken and Terry will be with us another wonderful year of pastoral leadership. This will be confirmed at the annual conference June 16, 2017, in Hampton, Virginia, by our bishop. Thank you, Pastor Ken and Terry, for all the hard work and leadership you do for our church family, and our community. We love you.
We feel so blessed to be able to stay among you. We love you. Please join me for the call to worship found in your bulletin. Come, let us celebrate the unique gifts that God has given to each woman, each man, every girl and boy. Let us sing praises to our God that we can claim the amazing gifts of the Spirit with which we have been equipped for service and leadership, gifts of peacemaking, compassion, perseverance, unity, and love, and use them for the sake of all God's children. Let us worship God with great joy, gratitude, and expectation.
Let us turn in our hymnals to page 886 for the affirmation of faith. The World Methodist Social Affirmation. We believe in God, creator of the world, and of all people, and in Jesus Christ,
our Lord,
incarnated among us, who died and rose again, and in the Holy Spirit, present with us to guide, strengthen, and comfort. We rejoice in every sign of God's kingdom, in the upholding of human dignity and community, in every expression of love, justice, reconciliation, in each act of self-giving on behalf of others, in the abundance of God's gift, entrust to us that all may have enough in all responsibility, use the earth's resources.
Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace.
We confess our sin, individual and collective, by silence or action, through the violation of human dignity based on race, class, age, sex, nation, or faith, through the exploitation of people because of greed and indifference, through the misuse of power in personal, communal, national, international life, through the search for security by those military and economical forces that threaten human existence, through the abuse of technology which endangers the earth and all life upon it.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
We commit ourselves individually and as a community to the way of Christ, to take up the cross, to seek abundant life for humanity, to struggle for peace with justice and freedom, to risk ourselves in faith, hope, and love, praying that God's kingdom may come.
Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Amen.
Remain standing for our hymn number 89, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Thank you. our prayer cards this morning, we have a praise. We have been praying for a little baby known as Baby Waylon. And praise card this morning says that Baby Waylon is home from surgery and is doing great. He even got to go to a car show yesterday with his mom and dad. I also see a praise in our congregation this morning. So happy to see Don back with us this morning. If you will look at the back of your bulletin at the prayer concerns, the number of people we've been praying for a long time, just call those to your attention, and please don't forget to pray for these as you say your prayers during the week. Let us go to God in prayer. Our Father, we are indeed thankful for this beautiful day. And we give you thanks for each person in our congregation. We thank you, Lord, for your healing mercies. And we are so thankful for this precious little baby that is doing better. We continue to pray for those who are suffering in any way, for those who are battling disease, undergoing treatments, who are grieving, who are depressed, whatever their reasons, Lord, you know what they are, and we just lift them up to you in prayer. We thank you for this special UMW day that we get to celebrate what the women not only in our church do, but around the world. We thank you for the opportunity to have Rosabeth and her family here this morning, and we ask your blessings upon her as she brings our message. We thank you for all of the wonderful things that our local UMW here in our church does and that we're able to do. We pray, Lord, that you will go with us through the remainder of this service and that your Holy Spirit will be felt among us as we pray the prayer, Lord, that you taught your disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.
Good morning. Each year, the Edna Yankovich Circle honors a woman with the UMW pin, and this year is no exception. The woman we are honoring today takes these words from Matthew chapter 25 to heart and lives them each day. Jesus said, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me." He continues with these words, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these, who are members of my family, you did it to me." So how does she follow these words? Our honoree knew that there were people in the community that needed to be nourished, and she started the soup ministry. When she realized these people couldn't come here for the soup, she didn't give up. She led her team and went out to the community to bring the soup to them. She also saw that people coming to the monthly food pantry needed warm clothing, and so she started the warming tree. When any one of our church members is recuperating from an illness, surgery, or any medical procedure, she is the first in line to visit, armed with a home-cooked meal and fantastic dessert. But this is not all she does. She has served on various church committees, and presently, besides leading the soup and warming tree ministries, she is in charge of getting our ushers and greeters each Sunday. She is also a choir member and even fills in for Becky at the piano when Becky can't be here. Although there are others in our choir who could do this, she has the courage to do it and never refuses. At church dinners, you'll always see her standing behind the dessert table, slicing those cakes like a pro. I never knew you could get 20 slices out of a cake until I saw her slicing one. She's the baker behind the man at the United Methodist Men's meetings, and she helps with our Lenten lunches, Father's Day breakfast, and Easter egg production. With all this, she still has time to be a caring and devoted wife, mother, and grandmother. She'll travel many miles, whether to see her son's team, daughter-in-law's team, or young grandson's team, play baseball, or to cheer on her granddaughter's cheering squad, or to see her oldest grandson's high school and now military achievements. I'm sure you all know that I'm talking about Kathy Wright. She is humble. She is humble, giving, and a wonderful friend. As one member of our church circle, our circle said, she is a perfect example of a loving, caring Christian woman by her acts and deeds. We should all show our love of the Lord and project it as she does. And so on behalf of the Edna Yankovich Circle, I want to present this pin to Kathy Wright.
Anybody put anything over on you, it can't be any better done than my sister-in-law and Fran. I'm telling you, if they can't keep a secret, and the rest of these girls in this circle either. But I could not do any part of this without all the help and volunteers in this church. I tell you, we have the greatest family church than anybody could ever imagine. And they're, like Fran said, they're always there when we need something. And, I mean, I just love you guys. Just thank you from the bottom of my heart. I just don't know how I can show my appreciation anymore. It's just a big thank you. So I love you all, guys, and thank you, thank you.
first scripture reading this morning comes from Psalms 139, verses 1 through 14, and can be found on page 577 in the Old Testament section of your pew Bible. Psalms 139, 1 through 14. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from far away. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, O Lord, you know it completely. You hem me in behind and before and lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is so high that I cannot attain it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and settle at the farthest limits of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me become night, even the darkness is not too dark for you. The night is as bright as the day, for darkness is as light to you. For it was you who formed my inward parts. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works that I know very well. The second scripture lesson this morning comes from James 2, chapter 2, verses 14 through 18, and can be found on page 230 in the New Testament section of your pew Bible. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill, and yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I, by my works, will show you my faith. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Becky. I first want to say, before we get started, yes, I was the squeaky soprano over there in the church choir. A woman's ways should never be underestimated. I walked in here, and Mrs. Wilhite immediately walked me back to the choir room to sing with the choir. I'm going to talk a little bit about that in a minute. But the second thing that I want to say, because it's such a beautiful display of that, is just your work in this church. And she stands up here and immediately gives credit to everyone else. And if that isn't the way of a woman, I don't know what is. So, thank you for having me be here this morning. I am honored to be here in celebration of women. Your church is very familiar to me. I spent time behind this chancel rail with the Rappahannock District Youth Choir. We were all packed in here tight. I don't know if any of you have heard that choir in the past. But this church is one certainly of action, and your church family is incredibly kind and giving. And it feels like home to me, so thank you for having me here. I am Rosabeth Ward Kissman. I am the mother of Sophie Grace and Macon Avery, and the daughter, granddaughter, and so on and so forth of many incredible women. I serve as the executive director at the Middlesex Family YMCA, and the real story of how I am here is to come. So, this might challenge your listening today, but I'm going to tell this through stories. So, and I'm not going to give it away at the start, so you're going to have to pay a little bit of attention because I'm going to switch through stories. And stories were always a very important part of my childhood. Growing up, I sat around the family dinner table many, many evenings and was most often the last child standing, listening to the adults do their thing. And it was always so vibrant, all of these stories. Stories about life on the water, local characters. I heard lots of stories about Danny. I don't know if anyone knows Danny. Community happenings and church council issues. Do they still exist? There are legacies passed down through those stories, and they are very vivid to me. It's an art form, one that a lot of my family possesses, and one that I'm going to try very hard to demonstrate to you today, so bear with me. The teacher was a very important woman in this child's life. In the third grade, the child was the littlest and youngest in the class. The child was fiery and petite. Even so, she needed an extra special amount of love and affection to make her feel secure. It's as if the teacher just got it. You know how it goes. When it's right, it's right. The child felt the teacher believed in her deeply, that she could indeed do anything, even though her insides always felt just a little bit light. As the child grew, she continued her studies with the teacher and found the grace, kindness, and discipline transforming to her naturally excited nature. Seated on the stiff piano bench of the upright piano in the teacher's home, year after year, the child's little fingers grew and slowly stretched to the chords that the teacher wished her to play. As a good teacher does, the child worried about being unprepared for her lessons without the teacher even saying a word. The child wanted to please her, and so she tried. My fingers stretch the length of those chords today, don't they, Mrs. Wilhite? Although I am certainly out of practice and very out of date on my music theory, and I still have in me the sense to want to please her when she calls me into the church choir on Sunday morning. Enduring, for sure. Grace, kindness, and discipline. Mrs. Wilhite's legacy as a teacher and true compassion for our church is deeply woven into my story. Psalms 139, verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. She really wasn't supposed to be born. Her mother had polio, and the doctor told her that her twisted pelvis would not stand another child. She was pregnant with her baby girl, and she would hear none of it. She boarded the bus to Richmond to have the baby. In that time, women in labor were mostly unconscious for the delivery, so she woke up to her beautiful baby girl, and she took her home. The baby girl grew up behind a general store in the 1930s and 40s. She had quite the childhood. As many of you might remember, or stories thereof, general stores in those days served as the gas station, the post office, the meat market, the dairy, and on Friday nights, the dance floor. Her mother was busy raising children, tending house, running a business, and wringing the chicken's neck when the supper was to be made. Her father was busy driving piles and managing the store. It was a time. The local boys would get all cleaned up on Friday night, ready for their dates, and stop by the general store for a soda, and oftentimes test out their dance moves with the little girl to the sounds of the jukebox roaring in the corner. And I fact-checked, and it was indeed a jukebox that played 45s. How's that? A strong, worn counter served as a hub. The little girl, of course, with all of the folks coming in and out, became highly adept at talking with anyone of any walk of life. Sunday dinners at their home were prefaced with an open-door policy, and when more food was needed, more water was added to the soup. Sundays were for visiting, and neighbors and friends, and for the lonely ones, and they would just make their way. This girl, with her huge heart and love of people and their stories and their needs, raised her own family right next to that general store. In her home, she progressively held a career, raised her two children with her patiently supportive husband. Did I say patiently? And frequently became the house to which those in need came. Generation of youths and quite a few adults were guided by her sage advice, but mostly to her willingness to listen and not judge. Her mother's perseverance runs deep through her, and her father's spirit flows wildly. At 84 years of age, and I was trying to make sure I got the exact age right today, she continues to lead the Lower United Methodist Church Youth Group and only recently retired her post as church secretary at Urbana United Methodist Church. I share my grandmother, Frances Johnston, nanny to me, and many others. Her works are that of a legacy. Her first airplane ride was with me to Salt Lake City, Utah. She was 61. We traveled to a national youth convention where, at the age of 13, I served on the design team. Mrs. Wilhite, I still was the smallest, but most definitely the fiercest at that time. You see, my nanny convinced me at an early age to just speak, Rosa. I carry her mother's name, and I think it quite natural for her to give me orders. Nonetheless, with her most memorable warm hand placed on the small of my back, encouraging me to stand up, or sometimes shoving me up, I usually did just speak. That warm, comforting hand got me into a lot of standing up. James chapter 2, verses 18. Show me your faith without deeds, and I will show you my faith by what I do. She was the lady with the lamp, nursed wounded soldiers during the war. Her passion and dedication to the profession changed the public's perception about this profession. Her insistence on improving the sanitary conditions for patients is believed to have saved many lives. Florence Nightingale said, I think one's feelings waste themselves in words. They ought to all be distilled into actions which bring results. For 3 years, I served as the chair of my church's council. Always junior to anyone in the room, I felt it important and humbling to represent in this way. Most specifically, I felt like the time was right for me to do so. We were transitioning pastors at that time. Thankfully, you all don't have to do that. Score one. And we were in the midst of some inner church conflict. Our church then and today is in a time of transformation. I do a lot of reading about churches and where we're going and the place of our church in present-day society, but also in the lives of our youngsters, because at the Y, that's really what we do. Our church is in what is called the post-church era, and I don't like to say that, but statistically, we are. More folks stay home on Sunday mornings or whenever church is occurring than actually go to church. And this is particularly true for our younger generations. What I know as a mother and as an advocate for youth through the YMCA, there is so much truth to be gathered from the raw honesty of these generations. And sometimes alarmingly so. One study about the millennial generation conducted by the Barna Group brings this matter home. When this generation, the millennial generation, is asked about the various reasons for not attending church, millennial principles include hypocrisy, closed-mindedness, lack of confidence in church leadership, lack of relevance. And it's very easy for that to become hugely negative, but I believe that there is a window. When asking millennials to serve and select an aspirational image for what the church should be in the world, researchers found that by and large, young adults respect the potential of organized religion. One in four chose the overtly positive image of outstretched hands serving one another. It's encouraging that a significant proportion of the millennials view Christianity in this way. And the percentage is even higher of church-going millennials and young adults indicating that those who are in attendance in their local churches want to live out a faith that is actively reaching into their community. So, what I propose to you today is that the women at the heart of our stories, those that nurtured us as mothers, as grandmothers, sisters, friends, and teachers, these are the hands that have and will continue to connect our generations and strengthen our church. What I duly propose on Women's Day, because one is just not enough for me, is that we honor them each and every day for their strength and their resilience and their foresight. Every Sunday, my mother prepares Sunday lunch. Every Sunday, she goes to church, teaches the middle school Sunday school class. Thank God my daughter is in it. Conducts the choir, often after decorating the sanctuary in the middle of the morning with her incredible artistry. Then comes home to prepare, serve, and clean up lunch for 12 people. Her giant sink in her kitchen is always piled high with dishes. And my mom is seated at the table with her family, savoring that time together, ignoring that gigantic stack of mess. What she knows, and what I am constantly trying to learn, is that the art of service, of preparing, of being present, of waiting until everyone has left to tackle the dishes, that is her perseverance, her demonstration of the most categorically feminine, yet unwaveringly tough, commitment to raising up her family. Let us know that as we raise generations of young women, our words and actions leave an indelible mark on their future legacies. We as Christians seeking to grow in our faith and show God's works to others must respect and build up our young women. Our faith in action will open windows for our church to move, to see the relevance, to understand that we, the church, are not just the walls and roof, that the church perseveres through action. Let us be fearless. Let us be accepting. Let us guide others with warm and confident hands, encouraging them to stand and speak. And then the tough part, we listen. I challenge you today to think of the women in your life and to tell them the stories you will share about them. I don't do it enough, but I think I pretty much scored up here today getting to do it out of the pulpit. And I want to take a minute to say, in honor of you, Mrs. Wilhite, in honor of you, Nanny, in honor of you, Ma, in honor of you, Mom, and in honor of the future legacies of my daughters, Sophie Grace and Macon Avery, in honor of our women, blessings and thank you.
Let us pray. God of mission, we thank you for your gifts that surround us. Out of our gratitude to your faithful love, we give ourselves in this token of monetary gift for the furtherance of your mission. Bless our gifts that they may be multiplied for the transforming ministries of the world. In your name we pray. Amen. Our next hymn will be the hymn of dedication. It's on page 2140 in the Faith We Sing.